Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is April 18th, 2012. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'm having a little bit of a nostalgia show today because it is springtime in America, and the normal people in America are actually relaxed and enjoying themselves. The people with an IQ above 80, those who take fish oils, are not enjoying themselves. They understand that we're living through a terrible time and a regime that is relentless in its acquisition of power and its desire to crush the people into submission. So let's listen to a little music, and then I'm going to have a little fun with you today on The Savage Nation. Sort of an easy ride today is what we're going to take. All right, it's enough already. That's it. Ready into the refrain I don't like. So the day started like this. I get up at dawn, which I usually do, even though I don't want to because the light comes in, and I sleep near the base sometimes. Jump in the car. Go down to Sausalito, California. Everyone knows Sausalito. They love it. And I got there, walked around the docks, saw the sun come up. It was just gorgeous. It was still cool, and the fog was on the bay. Trickle down tyranny, how well it's done, and how really grateful I am to my audience for what you've done for me. And then I started thinking about finishing up my next book, Train Tracks, which will be out in for Christmas from the same great publisher, Harper's. So I said, you know, there's one thing I haven't written yet for Train Tracks, which is how I got into radio. And I want to read you, it's a page long of what I wrote this morning, even though I shouldn't. I should be hawking you Trickle Down Tyranny. But I really have to read this to you, how I got into radio, because I was next to a building where I cut my first demo tape. So I'm walking around after dawn today, and I wrote this. I can remember the day I recorded my first demo tape and sent it out to 200 stations around America. I went down to Command Productions in the Industrial Center building in Sausalito. The building in which this production studio is housed, incidentally, was part of the old Kaiser Shipyards. They built the Liberty ships for World War II. It's an area I've spent a lot of time in, just musing or walking about the boats, the docks, the gas dock, looking at the boats. Anyway, I was writing books on health, nutrition, herbs, and I was doing corporate consulting. But I knew there was something more that I wanted. In fact, you might say I was desperate. I was 50 years old and I wanted more. Well, just things weren't right. All the years I had done book tours, these grueling 10-city book tours, I was told by various people in the media, Michael, you really ought to go into the radio business. You have a great voice. And I said to them, how can I go into the radio business? That's like telling someone to become an astronaut who can't fly. Nevertheless, necessity is the mother of invention. And so I created the name Savage Nation, and I went to Command Productions. I'll never forget it to this day. I opened the demo tape like this. And now, from high atop the Empire State Building in New York City, it's the Savage Nation. And then I had my wife call in and a friend of mine call in from this little room that he lived in San Francisco during my monologue, which was against affirmative action. I had them call in with sort of stage calls. I would say, Frank, you're next up on the Savage Nation, that kind of thing. Well, I had gotten from a distant friend a list of all the radio stations in America that had talk shows. I believe it was over 200 at the time that I made the tape. And so I sent it out to over 200 radio stations in the United States looking for a job. Within a week, five stations said, hey, kid, you're pretty good. Give us a call. One I remember was in Boston. I don't remember its call letters. I hope it was WRKO where I am today. I don't remember the others, but another one was in my own backyard, and that was the largest talk radio station in San Francisco. They said to me, how would you like to fill in? Well, of course I wanted to fill in on the most powerful station in San Francisco, 50,000 watts. So I did. a midnight to 5 a.m. shift for a guy who had a show that was devoted to hating white people and pandering to the worst in human nature. I filled in and did a normal show. Actually, it was quite an interesting show, not inflammatory at all, in my opinion. You see, I talked about the inequality of affirmative action and things of that nature. Well, I received such hate calls from the left-wing listener base that I was shocked, in the sense that prior to this, I had been the good doctor, the good herbalist who everyone liked. I never heard such hatred in my life. For 5 straight hours, I sat there and took it and answered the best I could. As I drove home at dawn on Highway 101 to our little rental house, I remember looking in my rearview mirror the entire way back, thinking I was being followed. The hatred of the left wing had literally provoked a semi-paranoid reaction in me. When I got home and my family woke up, over breakfast I said, I will never do radio again. It is so filled with hate, I can't take it. Well, when I woke up later after my morning nap, ring, 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 ring. Hi, this is the program director. Savage, you did great. Would you like to fill in for him again? I said, never. I'll never do radio again. She said, well, would you consider doing another show? I said, well, what other show? Now, remember, the day part radio shows on this 50,000-watt talk flamethrower heard from Canada to Mexico were the stars of radio at the time. And so I started filling in for the day part radio shows. I created a storm. I was the first conservative in the media in the San Francisco area. There was nobody before me, and frankly, there's been no one since me who could shine my shoes. Everybody in the business knows that. So I did fill in for a few months, and then they came to me again and said, Savage, look, we're starting another station, and it's going to be all conservative. How would you like to be the star? Sure, let's do it. And so I did, and the rest is history. That's how I got into radio. The moral of the story is just do what you do best and try the best you can until the day you die. And eventually, the train that you are riding will lead you where you belong. That's the story of how I got into radio. Play the train track sound for a moment as we take a breather, not a break, a little breather. If you can find it, if not, I understand, then play some rock and roll or whatever. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. It's a kind of interesting day for me in many ways because, oh, wow, I got a caller who listened to my first show, and we're going to take her or him in a minute. If you're one of those who listened to my first radio show ever 18 years ago, you can give us a ring. Why can't you be true? All right, fine. Doesn't fit, but it's okay. Thank you. I got a migraine already. Thank you. Off. Today is an interesting day for me as well because there's some throwaway newspapers. You know the kind that come in the suburbs that they throw in the driveway rolled up with a rubber band that no one reads, but they read. The liberals read these papers. They read every page, every line. Although they're ad sheets, in some ways, some of the stories are more interesting than the big city newspapers. Like arrest made in bank robberies, tragedy at the Farallons, one dead, 4 swept away in sailing race. It's better news coverage than the San Francisco Chronicle. Well, my luck, and it's good luck, I had purchased an ad for the book. A full-page ad on page A. It's a full page for my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Now, you got to remember something. This is the most liberal county in the United States of America. This is all left-wing all the time. It's ruled like a communist dictatorship. They don't want any dissidents. No dissenting opinion permitted in the nice, nice, nice county in which I reside. My luck, I bought the ad, a full-page ad, for the back of the paper. It came out today. It'll be one of the biggest red issues because of the tragedy at the Farallons, unfortunately. A lot of people want to know the details. It's a horrible story. So my ad's on the back page. Full page now. Exactly the cover of Trickle Down Tyranny, but I want you to hear the headline I put on it. The Bay Area's Most Revered Author. Then it shows the book cover, Trickle Down Tyranny. And then I wrote this copy. Is the most polarizing president in our history, transforming us into Caracas or Beijing, Moscow or Tehran. As Obama accrues power with little opposition and his oppression creeps down from the top, the American people must end the tyranny. This one book can help stop Obama's tyranny, now on sale everywhere. And, of course, it's for the trickle-down tyranny. Now, I just know what's going to happen in this county. When these commies get this newspaper, which they've been getting for years and years in their driveway, it's a little comfort zone for them. Pizzerias, taquerias, restaurant owners, benign editorials, and, you know, lots of ads. And then they're going to flip to the last page, and there I am, Michael Savage, calling himself the Bay Area's most revered author. Why, Saul Alinsky's our most revered author. And if it's not Saul Alinsky, it must be Bill Ayers. It's not him. And they're going to probably demand that the newspaper be closed down by the proper authorities, I would imagine. So I'm looking forward to some of the local reaction from my good neighbors here in the liberal, the county where liberal tolerance reigns. It's also an interesting day for me for other reasons, because tomorrow and Friday I'm beginning a long and overdue family vacation, one I have not taken for years. You may not know this, but if you listen to my show when I started out 18 years ago on that local station, I had a certain system. I would be on the air for 5 weeks, and then I would take 1 week off. And the reason I did it is because I burned hotter than anybody in the history of talk radio. I put out more wattage. I burned hotter than anyone in the history of talk radio more consistently. And I've been doing it for 18 years. But in those days, I worked 5 weeks and I took a week off like clockwork. And I did so. And I told the program director when I took that first job, I'm only going to do it if I can take a week off every 5 weeks because I got to go to Fiji and do some plant collecting. But the fact of the matter is it actually made me a better host, because I was able to get my mind off the news, off radio, off conflict, and into something more ethereal, more eternal, and that was ethnobotany at the time. I have not done that since I've been in national radio, because it's a different world, I suppose. But at the end of the day, everybody needs a little vacation. So I'm taking one tomorrow, and it's going to be a sort of a little bit of a nostalgia tour for me here on the Savage Nation. So if you'd like to join me on this nostalgia tour before my time with family, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back. Savage. It's the Savage Nation. Look, I know that most people listen to talk radio for different reasons, meaning everyone listens for a different reason. The news you can get anywhere. Like there's a breaking news that three U.S. Secret Service agents are leaving, prostitution scandal, Hookergate. And it's an important story, but not for me today. I built my name in radio based upon my stream of consciousness, my storytelling, and my ability to analyze the news. Yes, but it was my stream of consciousness that was unbeatable. Nobody could ever beat it. The way my mind would just run, and you know, one thing leads to another. And this whole idea of stream of consciousness goes back in part to previous, I dare not use the word artist because people will get mad, but the fact was there was a book in the 1700s called Tristram Shandy, The Life and Opinions of Tristram Shandy. And it was written by Lawrence Stern, S-T-E-R-N-E, in Ireland in the 1700s. And if you read that book, which I read it long after I started radio, it's a series of anecdotes from Lawrence Stern's mind about this character, Tristram Shandy. And, you know, he walked down the alley and he ran into a lady of the night. And then he went into a room with the lady of the night. And in the room with the lady of the night, a lamp got knocked over. And it reminded him of his father who made lamps. And as he was thinking about his father who made lamps, he thought about his uncle who made lampshades. And as he thought about lampshades, he thought of his Aunt Beulah. He thought of his Aunt Beulah. You know, that's stream of consciousness. So he did that. But that wasn't the first book where there was stream of consciousness. I have said that the Bible, the Old Testament, is the first stream of consciousness that I have ever seen written in print. Think about it. The Bible is basically a stream of consciousness from various and sundry prophets. So anyway, I did this in radio, and it's when I really enjoyed radio more than ever, was when I'd have the freedom to think as I wished, to talk as I wished, to let my mind go where it went. But they understood that the mind of an artist had to be allowed to reign freely. They didn't try to put it into a cage like a broken bird and control it, you know. But anyway, it's a different world. So that's why today I'm going to devote this day to my first radio show, which I just read to you how I got into radio. And I have a real treat for those of you who've never heard it. Later on in this hour, we're going to play my four-minute demo tape, the first tape Michael Savage ever made before he was ever heard of as a talk show host, which I sent to over 200 radio stations. And if you never heard it, you're going to listen to it. And then you're going to judge and tell me if I've changed one iota in 18 years. Sacramento Pat, I understand you heard my first show. Go ahead, please.
No, you haven't changed at all. I remember you were crucified that night. I listened. And on that three letters,
you heard me on that anti-white show, didn't you?
Yeah, that you filled in for a real liberal, and I remember I said I'm shocked this guy can hang in there.
They were killing me. I never in my life encountered such hatred. I had never been exposed to liberal hatred in my life before. But the minute you step out of line, the minute you express an opinion that doesn't conform to their viewpoint, they will crucify you as they did on that radio show that night. Now, that guy was a phony through and through. He specialized in whipping up anti-white, anti-American hatred, but he himself enjoyed the good life.
I do know that.
Yeah, and that's the saddest part of it all. He was a demagogue of the lowest order.
Missed 9 hours of you since.
Well, Pat, I'm sending you a free copy. Wow, he's heard my show now. Free copy of
Down Tyranny.
Trickle Down Tyranny. Don't say Tickle Down Tyranny, because it's not funny. I did an interview today with Monica Crowley, and she at the end said, well, I'm glad I had you on the show with Tickle Down Tyranny. I said, it's not Tickle Down, it's Trickle Down. I said, we had a lot of fun with that. Oh, here's another one. This is beautiful. We got another listener to the first show. So let's go to Wisconsin. Pete, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I love you. I'm looking in my hand right now. I've got the Paul Revere Society, my card that I got from you, and it expired in 2003.
Oh, my God. The Paul Revere Society card. Do you have any idea what that would be worth today for a collector on eBay?
Go into my coffin with me. I carry it in my wallet, and when I'm dead, this thing will go into my coffin someday.
Well, how did you wind up in Wisconsin? Did you move there?
No, I'm originally from Green Bay.
Isn't that something? I'm sending you Trickle Down Tyranny to add to your collection in the coffin.
Savage.
Hey, welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're taking a slight respite from the hard news for a little while on the show today with a little trip down memory lane, and I've read to you a little piece from How I Got Into Radio, and a real treat's coming up for those of you who are real fanatics of the show and who follow my broadcasts all these many years. We're going to play the demo tape, the first show I ever, I made up a tape and sent it to all these stations. Remember, I wasn't in radio, and it should be an inspiration to people. When you consider I was 50 years old and I went into a new profession without any training whatsoever and rose to the top. Think about that one. New York, Cameron, WOR calls. Thanks for the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, Doc. It's such an encouragement to know the hell that you went through after that first night of broadcasting on that left-wing station, taking over for the racist and giving a conservative line, because you know, we who listen to your show and call your show also call others. And we're subjected to the same attacks. In other words, the liberalism has become a stronger virus.
Well, that's right, because their leader is in power. And they feel that they're invincible and they do not tolerate dissent. See, the conservative invites liberals to call, but they won't call. The liberal doesn't even want to hear from the conservative. Cameron, thank you for the call. Miami, Florida. Leon, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, a little bit of nostalgia listening to you when you're on the call letter deficient station.
Yeah, ha, ha. So you used to hear me when? On Sunday nights on that old station, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been in the Bay Area for 30 years, and years ago, I remember driving through Sacramento Valley and listening to a certain somebody before he was syndicated. And when I first heard you, I knew you'd be syndicated. I knew you'd go national.
Well, Leon, what are you doing in Miami? You went down there for the buffets or what?
Oh, well, Actually, I like to go to Boca once in a while.
Uh-oh, so you're just visiting. You haven't moved there for the early birds.
No, not at all. Actually, I live in Southwest Florida, but I pick you up out of Miami.
Right, I'm on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, but it is heard in Miami. I know that. Yes. Leon, a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny flies off to you to the Southlands. Now, I thought he'd move there, you know, for the early birds, which start around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. For $1.99, you get a steak, a fry. They get to steal the sweet and low in the jacket pocket. They don't even put sweet and low out in Miami. The entire Miami area, you can't find the sweet and low. The salt shakers, the salt, the pepper, the ketchup packets, the sweet and low is gone. Nothing is left on the table. It's like locusts. There's a poor Chinese guy opened up. He had no idea what he was doing. He knows everywhere else in America, if you open all you can eat, you can make a buck. You can eke out a living. Okay? It's marginal. They opened one in the Delray Beach area. The poor Chinese guy went out in 3 months. They ate up the tablecloths. There was nothing left. They came in there. They ate three meals. They would come in the middle of the day with raincoats with special internal pockets made of like rubberized material where they could stuff dim sum in one pocket, a shrimp thing in the other, a spare rib down their leg. I never saw anything like it. They'd walk out weighing 25 pounds heavier than when they came in. The guy went out of business in 2 months. No, you don't want to open an all-you-can-eat buffet in Boca Raton, in the Boca Raton area. No, sir. Now, as I promised, let me take another caller or two, you know, and then we'll go to the... Should I play it now? Let me tell you. Okay, here's what we're going to play for you. This was recorded in 94 in Command Productions in Sausalito, as I told you. I had reached a hiatus in my life. I was 50 years old. Most men retire, and they say enough is enough. I had hit a stone wall in my career, and I knew... Let me just stop right there. I knew there was more waiting for me, okay? I want you to hear what I played, and then I want you to be a judge. Tell me if I've changed at all. Listen.
And now, direct from the towers above Manhattan, it's the Michael Savage Show. To the right of Rush and to the left of God, and now, Michael Savage.
I'm glad I can be with you 7 nights a week, because these stories are just not going away. I mean, every day in every way we're getting assaulted. Look at these questions before us today. Look at the questions before us. You know, they say that I'm to the right of Rush and to the left of God. I really don't think that that's funny. I really don't think that's funny at all. Do immigrants carry diseases? Are lawyers really humans? Is white bread safe to eat? How come women with mustaches, with peace and love and turtle-saving bumper stickers are the most likely to cut you off on the highway? Is Bill... No, Nazis, skinheads, KKK, don't call me. Crawl back into your bunkers. You've given true conservatives a bad name because you permit the sick leftists to paint all conservatives with the fascist brush, okay? Don't call me. Do Labor Secretary Reich's feet touch the ground when he's seated on talk shows? I don't know, but these are some of the questions that I think we have to answer here, because these questions are very much like the legislation before the 103rd Congress. Look at the bills that are facing our country right now. Abortion rights, appropriations, budget, campaign finance, congressional reform, crime, family and medical leave, the Hatch Act, the Health Care Act, the lobbying, voter registration, national service, school improvement, trade and welfare reform. These are the major bills in our Congress right now. So we have a lot to talk about. You know, that's why I'm here every night for you. You know what the Hatch Act is? I bet you don't even know what that is. It's a House-passed bill that would allow employees to hold political office and work on campaigns. Would you imagine that? In other words, you could hold an office and work on a campaign. In other words, you could, instead of doing the job for the American people, you can do a job for the person you're working for. That's really terrific. Well, what would you do with the NAFTA agreement? Would you pass it? How come the conservatives are for NAFTA and the Democrats seem to be like for and against it? I mean, NAFTA was basically a Republican-initiated concept. Now Clinton is for it. Barbara Boxer, the California senator, is against it. What exactly is NAFTA? Are we going to lose jobs to Mexico? I'd like you to tell me what you think NAFTA is and how you're going to be affected. Is it only low-rate jobs, high-ranking jobs, or what? First caller, you're on with Michael Savage. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Well, I'll tell you, I'm enraged and incensed about the lawyers.
Lawyers?
Yeah.
You're the fourth caller in a row to say something negative about a lawyer. I wonder why.
It just seems to me that the way it stands in this country, I mean, I believe in democracy, and I grew up believing that
you do? Have you seen a psychiatrist recently? Let me ask you a question.
Way.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lawyer recently? I mean, in person? Dealt with one?
Well, the last time I was at a cocktail party, I asked him if he was AC or DC.
AC or DC?
Ambulance chaser or divorce chaser.
I see. Very funny. I like that one. You know what all lawyers remind me of? They remind me of people who come out of a bathroom and they shake your hand while their own hand is still wet. That's what they remind me of. And you don't know what's on their hand. You don't know whether they, like, didn't wipe or, you know, they whatever. I don't know. I don't understand these people.
They're filthy. That's why. Feel dirty.
Well, let's cut this out. You know, this isn't fair. I did pick up a recent issue of the American Bar Association magazine. It was a special issue devoted to new graduates.
Yes.
And so help me God, this was an ad. You could write away for this poster to put on your wall.
Oh.
I didn't know if it was serious or not. Here's what it said. For new law graduates, here's exactly what the poster said. Remember, your adversary is your friend, because only your adversary can give you billable hours.
Oh my God,
and your client is your enemy, because only your client will try to stop you from gaining billable hours. That is where we are at. Anyway, thank you very much for calling, and keep listening to Michael Savage. By the way, what you're calling from San Rafael, Mexico, right?
I wish I was in San Rafael, Mexico.
Well, you're reaching me here high atop the tower of the Empire State Building in New York City, and I really want you to keep those calls coming in because Michael Savage needs you.
Well, you've heard it. That was history in the making. That set off a shockwave throughout the radio landscape. I sent that demo tape to... I don't know how many, 280 stations, 200. And five stations wanted me to go on the air. I remember one was in Boston. I honestly don't remember where the others were. And one was in my backyard, and that's how it all started. That's absolutely what happened. No one gave it to me. No one gave it to me. I had to struggle for it, as I have to struggle every day, as a fish has to struggle upstream, as the pelicans I watch on San Francisco Bay have to hunt for their food every morning, as the seals have to hunt for their food every morning, as the seagulls have to hunt for their food every day. It seems everybody understands this except the 50% of Americans who don't pay any taxes and want a nice, easy, free ride on your behind. You know, they want to break free of all the rules of nature and have you work for them, and then they have a commander-in-chief who tells you that if you make money, you're no good, that the bum who doesn't pay a dime, he's the good one. And that you owe him more. You hear? That's the world we're living in today. But let's not get too excited. Don't let me get too excited. I don't want to blow a fuse, let alone a cerebral artery. Sacramento Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Dr. Savage, that what you just played there could have been recorded yesterday off of yesterday's show. That's how. That's just how it sounds to me. I couldn't.
That's
tell
amazing. You. Well, I got to tell you, I could hear the younger Savage in it with slight insecurities in the beginning. When I got into the caller, which was with my wife, by the way, I got much more even toned. I heard the tone was better, and I got into my rhythm much, much better, so to speak, because I use the rhythm method in radio. On I couldn't help that one. But no, thank you. I haven't changed politically at all. And other people say, is that an act? Is he faking it? Isn't he really a liberal? No, it's not an act. In fact, what you hear on the radio is the tip of the iceberg of what I really believe. I'm far more right-wing than what people hear on the radio, incidentally, Mike.
Well, one would assume that, but you never know.
Well, right. You don't have to know it either. All you have to do is listen and learn and have your opinions. Free copy of TDT goes out to you. We're now reducing it to TDT instead of DDT. It's TDT. Maybe you can exterminate the virus that's the mosquitoes that have infested the swamp. Hey, maybe that's the way to sell the book. I got a new one. Instead of DDT, use TDT to exterminate the mosquitoes in the swamp. Oh, here comes the Secret Service. I'm sorry. God. Well, I'm sorry. They're busy with hookers and ex-rock and rollers right now. I don't know. Speaking of, would you see the pictures now that the LA Times put up showing some of our brave men of the 82nd Airborne holding up dead suicide bombers, along with Afghan soldiers, by the way. They didn't tell you that. The vermin in the media Here, U.S. troops pose with body parts of Afghan bombers. But if you read the story, the next picture shows soldiers from the Army's 82nd Airborne, along with Afghan police, posing with the mangled corpse of a suicide bomber. But they didn't want you to know that they were with the Afghan police. They tried to see if they could stir up any more hatred against the bravest and most noble members of our society. That rat in the L.A. Times should be arrested. As far as I'm concerned, the editor of the L.A. Times should be thrown into prison for sedition. And I'm basing this upon certain laws, by the way. He shouldn't have done that. Even the military asked him not to publish these pictures at this time. But the media, L.A. Times, launched a brazen attack against our soldiers in the field of battle. First, they released video of Marines urinating on dead bodies of terrorists that they had killed. And now the L.A. Times, that paragon of low-life journalism, has released photos of troops in Afghanistan posing with dead bodies of the enemy. Even the high-flying Pentagon chief, Leon Panetta, and Obama asked the L.A. Times not to publish the pictures because it would endanger the lives of our troops. But the vermin in the L.A. Times decided to go ahead and publish these pictures anyway. Now, earlier this year, I defended the Marines who were attacked in the same way. I published an op-ed in the USA Today. I did the whole thing on that one then. But you see, you don't understand what these men are living through. And the fact of the matter is, far worse was done to our men than carrying around the corpses of dead terrorists who blew themselves up. You know, the United States government once had bodies called censorship boards. They had standards for media outlets to follow to protect the lives of the troops. And now the media once followed those standards, by the way. Now the standards are, how can we make the troops look bad? Or how can we put the troops in the most danger? Because now that this story is out, it will be used to recruit more terrorists to kill more U.S. troops. The troops in these pictures are not the aggressors. The troops in these pictures are the victims. Victims of a media poison by 50 years of liberalism. Shame on you, L.A. Times. You should be imprisoned for sedition. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're having a little trip down memory lane with a little news thrown in here and there. You know, there's a lot going on in the news, and there's a lot not going on. Obviously, they're covering up the $5 trillion man in the White House by talking about the $800,000 conference in Vegas and making a big hullabaloo over that. And no doubt the LA Times published those photos in order to cover up all the scandals of the Obama administration that have been buried, all of them, buried every day with something new. And there's one scandal after another. Canada, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. It's nice to speak with you. Well, look, to answer your question about whether or not you've changed, well, look, I'm only 29, so your intro into radio was far before my time. But when I go back in the time machine with you and listen to that little clip from your intro into radio, obviously we can feel it's the original Michael Savage, but I think at the risk of stroking your ego, you're like a wine and you've gotten much better with age. You're just getting better and better as time goes on. And, you know, I don't know how many folks up here in Canada appreciate you because we're pretty left-wing up here. But, you know, I always like your show. I really enjoy a radio show.
Thank you very much. Do you listen on the internet?
Of course. Yes, I do.
That's interesting. Where in Canada do you listen?
I live in Ottawa. It's the capital. It's very left-wing here because, as you can imagine, we've got all the government workers here. I mean,
oh, yeah. No, you're in Toronto?
No, Ottawa. Ottawa, Ontario.
Oh, Ottawa. Well, look, my mother was Canadian, and I've always had a fondness for Canadian people. I've always enjoyed visiting Canada. Every time I've gone there, I felt a certain something. That was then, though. I know Canada has shifted to the left, had shifted to the left, but you have a conservative government now, don't you?
Yeah, okay. You say conservative. In the context of the Canadian political landscape, that's true.
I understand. In other words, the left wing has been in charge for so long that when you get a moderate left-winger, it looks like he's a conservative compared to the communists going all the way back to Trudeau.
It's different.
Yep. I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. I hope it doesn't cost too much to send it over the border. I know that the Quebecois are another country over there. They won't speak English. They speak French. And then there's the English-speaking Canada. But look at the different welfare rates. I know that's an embarrassment, but you're not allowed to talk about that. Take a look at the difference in government subsidies and welfare recipients in Canada between the two groups, and you'll come to your own conclusion, you know. I mean, someone's got to pay for frogs' legs. It's got to come from somewhere, doesn't it? Okay, let's move on. Sacramento, California. Trish, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just want to say your vacation is well long overdue. And something
it
on
is.
The light side.
It is overdue. I do need to take a vacation. So what's on your mind?
No, just a little quickie that I had gone on a sailing trip down to the Mexican coast, down through Panama, over to Cartagena.
Wow.
So, it was an interesting, especially going through the Panama Canal was really tricky.
What kind of boat were you on?
It was a 44-foot Hunter.
Well, that's a beautiful sailboat. You and your husband?
No. It was a good friend, a high school buddy and his buddy.
Oh, you mentioned high school. I was just thinking, you know, the president went to Punahou High School in Hawaii, and unfortunately, we couldn't afford to send Teddy to such a school, so we sent my dog Teddy to Poodlehoe High, where he got all of his training in being a poodle. All right, Trish, I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny, TDT, the liberals. Use TDT on your liberal friends. I like that. Maybe that'll be the next series of ads when I come back. Use TDT to, we can't get too extreme here. I don't want to visit from the Secret Service. The Secret Service. How secret is it to take your clothing off in a house of ill repute in Colombia? I mean, what part of that is secret? What's the secret? The guy exposes himself. Did you read the latest part of the story? It looks to me like they were set up by what I'm reading. Incidentally, it looks like they did use prostitutes, but it looks to me like the government set them up the next day with an altercation in the doorway. Because no hooker is worth $800 in Colombia by what I've read.
Seven.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'd been a normal person, where would I be today? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I was always odd. I was different. I was always different. I was like introverted. I was intro-extro. Even in high school, I was very popular, but I was secretly introverted. Or was everyone like that? Who knows? Like, I watch a movie, you know, Surfing USA. I think I watched it last night with Tab Hunter. For like a half hour, I wanted to just relax. And I remember being a kid in New York, struggling, like school, job, goulash. I mean, it was horrible. It was like, you know, living inside a stew pot of struggle. And here were these blonde guys with blue eyes, with surfboards, without a care in the world on the California coast, or they had the freedom and the money to just fly. Well, let's go to Hawaii and catch the waves on the North Shore. I couldn't comprehend there were people like that on the planet. And yet there were, and there still are. Today they play golf, and they vote Republican. No, the image is that everyone else works, and only Republicans never worked in their life. You know, it's crazy. Just crazy. That's how they set the whole game up. But the fact of the matter is, it's more nuanced than that, and it's certainly more complicated than that. Here's a news story. In Afghanistan, photos, GIs posed with body parts. Photographs apparently showing American soldiers with the body parts of dead insurgents drew strong condemnation from Defense Secretary the high-flying Leonie Panetta, says the NYT. I haven't heard any condemnation about Major Nadal Hassan's slaughter of 13 innocent soldiers and killing 33. The Fort Hood massacre, not one word out of the mouth of Panetta, not one word out of the president, not one word about the Fort Hood massacre, but about this. Oh, yeah, let's condemn it. Yeah, let's condemn it. Let's show what good principles we really are. Come on. Take a break from this garbage. No one believes a word they say. The guy spends $800,000 flying back and forth to Monterey. Now, oh, I'm outraged. Yeah, how dare you? These insurgents try to kill you and they blew themselves up and you pose with them. How dare you? I'm busy flying around. You can't do that. The peanut man talks. WOR, New York call. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage?
Yes.
Dr. Savage? Hello?
Yes, hello. Hello, you're on the radio. Hello. Come in, Carl. What's on your mind?
Well, Dr. Savage, I want to thank you very much for your show. I think you're the only speaker and talk show host that's so honest, and I can't stop listening to your show. I like your information. I get it.
All right. Now, here's the thing. It's, you know what it is, what you detect in my voice? It's like you're talking to a friend would talk to you, right? I don't sound like I'm broadcasting and putting on a different persona, right?
That's right. I started off like you with nothing. I worked my jobs up. I live here in New York. I go to this here Queens College. I seen that beautiful place. I served as a caddy on a golf course, and I worked my way up. And, boy, wow. I never heard a guy as honest as you and as good as you talk so nice to this people. I mean, I can't stop.
That's beautiful. Carl, what did you do in your life that you, in your later years, what did you wind up doing?
I started off going to school, working as a machinist, and then I worked in the summers as a cook, you know. I started as a busboy. I worked my way up, and the guy says, come help me in the kitchen, and I start learning how to be a cook. Before you know it, I became a chef in a hotel. And that's the way.
Oh, that was a great job. Well, you know, it's funny. I grew up on Utopia Parkway in Queens, New York, in an attached house, one of those little... But two doors down from us was a guy whose father was a chef in the Pierre Hotel. We looked up to him like he was... something very, very, very elite. You know, it was a big deal in those days.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a very good job. And besides, it's hard work and all. And then they says, well, we got a little room for you. Maybe you could stay here. So they gave me room to live in a hotel, and they used me. And you know, I worked 6 days. Years ago, that's the way we had to work. But
yeah. Today you'd call the government. The government would crack down if you stayed overnight. You're exploiting the worker by giving him a room. You turn him into a slave. They closed the hotel down for about 3 years.
Well, yeah, but that helped me because I was able to save a few dollars.
Of course, but don't tell that to an idiot from Harvard that it helped you. Of course it helped you. It's like when I was a kid and worked underage, it helped me to get my way through high school and have a few dollars in my pocket. But don't tell that to the bureaucrat who arrested the pharmacist who hired me.
Well, yeah, I worked for a pharmacist. I set up my stuff in Rockway Playland. And, you know, he'd done his business.
Hey, Carl, let me ask you something. You started as a machinist?
I went to high school to learn how to be a machinist, you know.
But wait. Did you go to that industrial high school next to Jamaica High School?
Woodrow Wilson in Baisley Park.
Oh, it's a different area. All right, Carl, thanks for the kind compliments. I'm glad you've been a loyal listener on WOR New York. I'm sending you TDT to spray your liberals with. Spray him with the truth. Spray him with the truth in TDT. I like that. That is nice. So here we are. Going on vacation tomorrow. A long overdue vacation with the family to spend time with the family. I'm sure it'll result in some beautiful times and a little tension here and there. But that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? I mean, we're not robots. You try your best, but... You put 3-4 alphas in a room, you know there's going to be a little explosion now and again. I can't look forward. You know, I'm not going to let it happen. I promise I will not let anything spoil it because it's up to me. Isn't it up to me? Can I once let the others talk and lead? Can I once put down the reins and let someone else take the lead? Can I say yes, whatever you want to do, once in my life? Can if they say, Dad, do you want to do this? Can I say yes, whatever you want? Well, I'm going to try this. I swear it's a whole new... It's a whole new way of looking at things. Why don't I just say yes, whatever you want? How bad could it be? I mean, you know what I'm saying? They have good taste. So whatever they want to do, I'll say yes. Why don't I just try that for the whole vacation? That way I don't even have to think about whether I want to do something or not. Right? Already I'm getting an anxiety attack before I got on the air. Before I left the house already, I'm having a pre-trip anxiety because I'm such a worker. It's frightening. I mean, I work all the time. I get up. So I said, it was a rare day. I went down to the Sausalito with the dog in a convertible. Oh, I got to tell you this story. So I pull into a gas station. It was a warm day out here with the top down, and I'm filling the tank. Dog is in the car. Guy comes up. And he starts talking about my car, what a nice car, and this and that. One thing leads to another. And he tells me he has an old Triumph, and he races Porsches, and he doesn't win right away, but he's able to follow him and keep up with him on a certain road. And he's chewing my ear off, and I am, I'm putting in the gas. I don't know whether the guy's a bit on the, or, you know, he's a nut. Who knows? He could pull out a blade in a minute. So I'm always ready with the hose in one hand and the lighter in the other, you know, in case things go bad. He's talking. I don't know where he's coming from. I chase him, but they can't leave me. I follow him down. At that point, I step back about a foot. I got the hand on the Ronson and the other hand on the hoe. So then he says to me, so I don't know how it came up, something about Romney with the dog on the roof. Already they put that in the head of the average jerk. So I said, well, you know what? I'd rather have the dog on the roof than being dragged behind the car the way Obama drags the country behind his car. And I got a laugh out of this guy. And then he says to me, well, I don't like either of them. I said, better Romney than the communist in chief, and we left it at that. Now, he didn't know who I was, obviously, that I'm a talk show host or anything. But I said to myself, we're in trouble. If this working, because I saw by his truck, he was either a solo contractor or a painter. And I said, if the white, blue-collar guy doesn't have any feelings for Romney and doesn't really know how dangerous Obama is because they haven't read TDT, I said, we're in trouble. It's neck to neck. And by the way, I got to tell you this. The book Trickle Down Tyranny is number 2 on the Wall Street Journal, number 3 on other lists. You know, the liberal from MSNBC who was number 1, do you know why she is number 1? I got to take my hat off to liberals. They support their people. They don't buy one. They don't buy 2. They don't buy 3. They don't buy 4. They buy 500 copies. They buy 50 copies. If they own a bar, one of theirs writes a book, they give out the 50 copies to employees. I only wish conservatives did the same thing. But you know what? Let's count our lucky stars. I'll be back.
Savage.
You know, earlier in the show, I played my first demo tape, and I asked questions then in 1994, the first tape I ever made and sent out to the 200 stations. And in it, one of the questions I said, do immigrants bring in disease? You see, I had written many books before I went into radio, and I tried to sell a book called Immigrants and Epidemics. In fact, it was a phenomenal book proposal, but nobody in New York would touch the book at the time. That's because there was too much truth in it. And, of course, the government doesn't want you to know that many of these infections that we have today are being brought in from Mexico and from Asia and from Africa. Here's a case in point. There's now an outbreak in the San Francisco Bay Area of hand, foot, and mouth disease, a new strain of it, by the way, with more severe symptoms, symptoms that go beyond minor rashes on feet and hands. The new strain is leading to patients who lose their fingers and toenails. Now, where is this coming from? Where did foot-mouth disease come from? Where did it come from? Well, let's look into it. It seems that the virus associated with it began showing up a couple of years ago from Asia and Europe. Hand, foot, and mouth disease is usually caused by a similar virus. And they won't tell you this because they don't want you to think that there's any danger in not screening immigrants, because it's all one world now, isn't it? And everyone is equal, aren't we? And all nations are equal, aren't we? Ask Obama. In fact, we're not even as equal as others, because in the new animal farm, some animals are more equal than others. The fact of the matter is that when my grandfather came over, as did many listeners to the show, you had to go through Ellis Island. Remember the Godfather? Little Vito Corleone had a cough. They quarantined the kid because they didn't want him to bring a disease into the country. Made sense. Yeah, but what did those old rednecks know? What did those stupid rednecks know? They weren't sophisticated. They didn't tell their daughter to sleep with their sorority sister and their son to sleep with their fraternity brother. What did they know? Those stupid rednecks. That's what the people would like you to believe. Well, they knew an awful lot, didn't they? They knew an awful lot about how disease was transmitted. Common sense. You have a whole group of people who are coming from poverty somewhere. You would assume that they might have diseases that should be looked into. And you investigate and you don't let them in. You keep them out if they're sick. Otherwise, you infect the healthy population. But when you live in a world turned upside down, instead of thinking about protecting the healthy population, what you do is you protect the sick population. And then you have the world according to the liberal. And if you investigate virtually anything wrong in this country, it's because their optic chiasmas are upside down and they're looking at everything upside down. So, example, the pictures that were released today by the vermin at the LA Times are the troops posing next to the blown up Afghani would-be suicide bombers, right? Terrible thing. And Leon Panetta, the high-flying Leon Panetta, is outraged, really outraged. Has Leon Panetta said one word about the Fort Hood massacre? Has anyone asked Leon Panetta, has anyone in the media said, how come you haven't prosecuted, how come you haven't insisted there be a prosecution of the man who committed the worst massacre in U.S. history in a military situation? Why? So don't you see the propaganda? It's everywhere you turn. And it's a big burden on those of us in radio who are trying to do the right thing. It's a terrible burden to have to remember all of the outrages inflicted upon the people and inflicted upon the soldiers, inflicted upon the police, and then to put that in context in a humorous, intelligent manner and have the people listen to you. It's quite an interesting demand upon a personality. Here's a story in New York today on another story, another note. A cop is escorting some piece of garbage. He was going nuts in the house in Harlem. The mother calls the cops. My son's going bug job. Come and get him. The poor cop is escorting this lunatic. This SOB pulls out a 3-inch knife and stabs the cop in the temple. Just misses a major artery. Could have killed him on the spot. Luckily, the cop is alive. You know, they say it's going to be a full recovery, but such things as this, there's never such a thing as a full recovery with a rusty 3-inch knife. Look at the dangers that the police put themselves in every day. And yet, look how they are spit upon by the same rats. That, oh, look how simple, the poor guy was mentally disturbed. Of course he was mentally disturbed. Who else would stab a cop in the head? What does that have to do with anything? There's a lot of people who are mentally disturbed. They don't stab cops in the head with a knife. Try him for attempted murder. I don't want to hear any more bleeding heart garbage about mentally disturbed. They always have an excuse for the rats. But if a person is a productive individual in our society, a struggler who worked hard, they have no excuse for them, the rats in the media. Not one excuse. You keep a library book too long, they'll arrest you. The world is upside down. You're living with Alice in Obama land today. The world turned upside down. Upside down, where everything that you grew up believing in is upside down. And he's only started. He hasn't finished yet. No, he's only gotten started. He's a young guy. Oh, he's got a long way to go. Just ask the progressives where they want to progress you to. Yeah, it's the world turned upside down, where poverty is rewarded, success is punished, our worst enemies are praised, but our allies are stiffed, where the military is used as a pawn, where our borders have descended into chaos, while Warren Buffett and other corporate cronies make off with all the wealth. You agree with any of that? Well, welcome to the newly created Union of Socialist States of America under Barack Hussein Obama. It's on the back of my book cover, TDT. Take the book and spray it on people. Spray the words. Spray the ideas. Spray the ideas. Spray TDT on liberals. Maybe you'll wake them up before they wind up as slaves in their own country. Okay, I lost it already today. I got angry. I didn't want to get angry. Figure I'm going to just cruise out, you know. Three agents out in wake of Secret Service scandal. I looked at that a little more carefully, and now I see that it was a setup a little bit. Sure, they used hookers. But apparently one of them came back in the morning and said, you owe me $800 in Colombia when the going rate by what I read is $30? No, my friend, this was a purposeful event to embarrass the U.S. Secret Service and the military. There's no question in my mind we'll never know the truth. But believe me, there's more to the story than you'll ever know.
Savage. We'll be right back.
I just want to finish up on the new strain of hand, foot, and mouth disease that's spreading in America because of uncontrolled immigration, primarily from Asia. They won't tell you that, but nevertheless, there are things you can do which are commonsensical. Because in both strains of the disease, the virus can be spread the same way as the common cold. Sneezing, coughing, touching surfaces with infected hands, and by contact with bodily fluids that may be discharged from the rash. So if you work with children in particular, or frankly, I don't care where you are, whatever you touch, an elevator, a door handle, common sense, you come home. And, you know, I grew up in a household where you washed your hands when you walked in the door. You took your shoes off. And my father would go to the sink and wash his hands when he came home from his store. I do the same thing. People say, oh, you're upset. Then it started with the 60s with the bum hippies who are running the country now. What are you, uptight? What are you, uptight? What are you got, an obsession with disease? What are you, uptight, moron? It's common sense hygiene. They didn't even wipe their behinds half of these people in the 60s. They're now running the country. So as I'm saying to you, just use your sense, common sense. You go out, you shop. Obviously, you don't rub your eyes or you rub your nose, right? You come home, wash your hands with soap and water. Make believe you're a surgeon. You got to do that. I don't mean just a quick with the water. I know it's funny. You got to hear a thing like this on a radio show. You think I'm crazy. I'm not. I'm trying to tell you what you need to remember because the idiots who pretend to be so educated aren't even telling you the risk you're taking going out today into a supermarket. Just rolling a cart, you could get a disease on your hands. What do you think they're providing the gloves for? Now don't get me started in the TSA with the bare feet. Or the perverts who are feeling women up. But let's go back to this. Wash your hands, boys and girls. It's that simple. Wash your hands. Disinfect toys and other surfaces that children have touched. Yeah, children. They may be cute. They may be cute, but they're sort of disease vectors, children. As anyone who has a preschooler will tell you, the minute they send them to school and they come home, they get sick. They bring it home from school. It's just the way it is. Children are susceptible to illnesses because they don't have highly developed immune systems, so they get the illnesses from the other kids. And, you know, so that's how you develop an immune system. You get exposed. That's one thing. But now when you have diseases coming in from points northeast, west, and south with no screening, you have to be extreme, you know, even more careful. That's all. Now, no more. Here's one. Redding, California. Fran, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I got the hand, foot, and mouth disease from my son, and he actually got it from daycare. And you're absolutely correct. The toenails are falling off and fingernails are falling off. It's been quite...
Yeah, and it's the epicenter now is in San Francisco, of course, the land of asylum, the asylum city, where anyone with any festering illness is more than welcome. In fact, they give them the key to the city.
Well, I live in pretty close to downtown Seattle, and I wasn't the only one that got it. There was another father at the daycare, and his child got it, and it just happened here a couple months ago, and it's been
terrible. Well, you have to be very careful, unfortunately, today with the public health in this country has broken down where the CDC is worthless. The Centers for Disease Control used to be the most advanced group of scientists in the world. In my lifetime, I've seen it become nothing but a political arm of certain pressure groups in the U.S. I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny, not for the medical information, but because the TDT in the book can be used to sustain yourself against liberals. Just spray the ideas from TDT all over your liberal friends. And then wash your hands with soap and water when you come back from the mall. Naples, Florida, Saul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, two of your best listeners here in Naples are old New York boys.
And, I'm sorry to hear it.
My neighbor.
So you mean you're living in one of the most beautiful cities on earth, on the Gulf of Mexico, and you're so disturbed by society, you're listening to my show 7:30 at night on the East Coast?
Nah, we love you, Dr. Savage. And my neighbor, unfortunately, is blind, and I do a lot of errands with him. I drive. So we went to the Barnes & Noble to look for your book.
Yeah.
We go into the local Barnes & Noble, and I I'm going with Frank. Frank's from Brooklyn, and I'm from Bayside. Every time you mention Creedmoor, I remember riding my bicycle on the bicycle path there.
Oh, yeah. I know the old bike path. I loved it as a kid. Hey, by the way, I'm a bicyclist today. Do you know who that bike path was built for and what it was?
Oh, yes. Hollis Court Road. It used to connect Hollis Court
Road. No. That bicycle path was built for the Vanderbilt. One of the Vanderbilt sons built it as a private motorway for his sports cars, so he could race his cars out on Long Island. That's what the bike path was originally.
We used to do it all the time, starting at Springfield Boulevard and 73rd Avenue. We used to enter.
Oh, yeah, Cunningham Park. I remember those hot dogs roasted on an open fire. So what happened with the book purchase?
Oh, that was – so Frank and I go – I drive Frank to Barnes & Noble. And we ask the first person we see about your book, and she looks at me like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
You know, like I grew a third eye. What book are you talking about? And I'm brought up to be polite and initially.
Right, so how did it end in a nutshell? What happened? They didn't find it at all?
The first person doesn't know what I'm talking about. The second person doesn't know what I'm talking about. We're having to wait.
You know, Saul, that's utter nonsense. Barnes & Noble is one of the biggest buyers of the book. They have it in every store. They just hide it. And if they don't know how to look it up on a computer, they should be fired. They shouldn't be in the book business.
Well, I had to get Frank to meet his wife, and she kept referring me to someone else, and we couldn't wait long enough to...
Well, did you eventually get the TDT? Because I'm sending you a free copy right now.
No. We had to go...
All right, we're sending it. So you're getting it. You're getting it. So worse than a buffet line, which is worse than an early bird. Frank, you got a free copy. Good story, but you got the book. You're from Bayside. I should have... Until he left, he probably would have wanted three. I'm kidding. Come on. Three freebies. Give him one. Just one is all he's getting. I would have given him two to have the show. I would have given him three if he had made it in 30 seconds instead of 3 minutes. Oh, yeah. Tough strain of hand, foot, mouth disease hits politicians. No kidding. That's an easy one, isn't it? Wisconsin, Daryl, you're on the Savage Nation.
Nice to speak Darryl. With you, Dr. Savage. I agree with you 101%.
Good. Thank God somebody does.
The reason I called tonight, I want to thank you for a story last November. I lost my little dog, and you had a story about Teddy and everything. I was
yes.
coming home from work. I listened to you every night coming home from work. I only am 20 minutes away, and it really touched my heart. I had to pull my truck over, and I wept because my little dog suffered, and you said the one line that just touched my heart. If you look into your dog's eyes, it's a reflection of your heart or something to that effect. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
No, I hear you. They're the greatest things on earth. I mean, there's nothing you could say. Anyone who owns a dog knows the loyalty level is beyond anything on earth. No one has ever seen anything like it. I mean, my little guy, he's sitting looking at me while I'm on the radio now. He lays on a pillow on a little chair, and his eyes right at me. Whatever it looked, or if I drive in a car, he sits in the right seat. Sometimes I'm driving, you know, regular look out. I look down. There he is. His eyes are looking right into my eyes. They're amazing. They like read your mind. These poodles.
I mean, it's just like they know what you're thinking. And then
my father taught me when I was young. He said, "Watch the dog watching you." He said, "Dogs are the best observers you will ever meet in the world." And it's true. They watch. He said they watch your feet, by the way. Dogs observe your feet. If you really watch a dog carefully, he taught me that when I was young. The dog always watches where your feet are going, number one, to see that they don't step on you. But number two, they can pretty much tell everything about you by how your feet are moving. For example, if they're moving fast, that means you're running away from something or running to something. If they're moving slow, it means you're going either to the toilet or the refrigerator. If they're moving at a medium pace, it means you're bored. You know, things like that. I'm joking. Daryl, I'm sending you a free copy of TDT. Use it on a liberal friend. Teddy, don't worry. Very soon we'll take a nice car ride, you and I. You'll look up from the chair. This dog knows when the show is almost over. His sense of timing is so amazing that he knows that when the show is coming near an end, he starts to, like, get up and stretches. He knows the last segment of the show, and he knows we're going to go out, go for a ride, whatever. Amazing. So that's what I'm going to do with him. At the end of the day, what else is there to do? And I ask him tonight which movie he wants to watch. So far, he can't tell me. But we're working on that. Maybe there's a way with sign language. I think I know which movie. He likes boxing matches because it's easy to watch. He likes black and white movies for obvious reasons. He doesn't like violence. He doesn't like violence at all. It gets him upset. So I got to watch out what kind of movies I'm watching. Whenever a politician comes on the air, I have to tell you, he runs out of the room barking. I'm joking. He doesn't do that. So what do you want to talk about in the last few minutes of this hour in the Savage Nation before my vacation? I think my best joke of the day, by the way, if I look back on the jokes, is we couldn't afford to send Teddy to the president's alma mater, Punahou. Instead, we sent Teddy to Poodlehoe High. I think that's funny. Not bad. It's kind of a family-oriented joke. I made it up on the spot. Who else makes up jokes for you on the show, on radio? It's not easy to do. Well, let's see what CNN has on their website. Cable News Network. Three leaving Secret Service amid prostitution scandal. They're never going to have as much business in Colombia. I hear that the flights to Colombia are full now. All the guys are flying at $40. What a deal. But what's the hooker came in at the end of the morning and said, you owe me $800? That looks like a setup to me. If the average price is $40 and she comes in and says, you owe me $800 and causes a ruckus, then the Colombian police show up. This was a setup to bring down the Secret Service. Dick Clark, dead at 82. All right, Dick, sorry. I hope you're in heaven. But it has nothing on this. Judge steps aside in Zimmerman case. Ho-hum. GSA senator said, clean up the house. Make sure it doesn't happen again. Isn't that lovely? They catch a corruption like this. Solyndra, $500 million. No investigation. The follow-up dies off. GSA, you make sure that we investigate this and that this never happens again. Meanwhile, the bum who did it, you know he's going to have a full pension. He'll do it again 3 months later. There's so many scandals, you can't keep up with them. You can't. It's the most scandal-ridden administration in modern American history. There may have been an administration sometime in the 1800s that was more corrupt, but I wouldn't know it. Bale, who did you say was the corrupt president in the 1800s? One of the old... Grant was a corrupt one, wasn't he? Yeah. Well, let's say in this last 100 years, I've not seen any corruption in my studies. You know, you look up... When I was in high school, for example... In the high school books, you read the Teapot Dome scandal riveted America, and you read what it was. I looked it up. It was nothing. It's a daily occurrence under Alinsky Jr., the Teapot Dome scandal. Nothing. Nothing. Was peanuts. Even by today's dollars, it was peanuts under Alinsky Jr. I love how, whenever you hear them espousing for the poor and the downtrodden, you know they're robbing you blind. The more they talk about how they're going to help the poor, you know they're robbing you left and right. That's all. They always use it's fairness. You know they're ripping you off. $205,000 to move one shrub in San Francisco for a highway running in Nancy Pelosi's backyard. Where'd that money go? Who got the $205,000? We don't know. The shrub got it. The shrub's mother got it because it was transplanted. They gave the $205,000 not to a contractor and cronies of the Congress people in the area. No, they gave it to the shrub's family because they were shrubbist. And anyone who's a shrubbist could be arrested under federal civil rights acts. In fact, they're creating an entire department in Eric Holder's Justice Department to look into racism against shrubs. I'll be right back.
Wait. Hang on. Before I go, let me ask you this. How much money do you need to earn each month? Huh? That's what IncomeAtHome.com wants to know. About 1,000 people a month are discovering the genius of starting their own home business through IncomeAtHome.com, like John Ball. You talk about bad luck. You see, he lost his job and was in foreclosure when he heard about IncomeAtHome.com, so he thought, well, why not? Today, John runs his own home business. He earns over $5,000 a month and just won a new Porsche in his business contest. Look, not everyone gets a Porsche and earns thousands a month, but doesn't earning money from home sound smart anyway? IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work-from-home business. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company. Plus, they do business in over 80 countries. The bottom line is this. They are legit. Your age, education, experience, it doesn't matter. You can do this. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7. And check out their $1,000 giveaway at IncomeAtHome.com. Visit IncomeAtHome.com. Check them out. That's IncomeAtHome.com.
Savage.
All right, well, here's the dog thing. You know, the Republicans, as you well know, leave a lot to the imagination, but we're still going to vote for them to get rid of the Marxist in the White House, obviously. But the Democrats are so devoid of any plan that the American people care about that all they do is bring up the fact that Romney had a dog who traveled in a crate atop the family station wagon in 1983 in a trip. You hear, that's all they can do, these idiots, these Democrats. Well, guess what happens? Guess what happens now? It turns out that Obama ate dog meat as a child. That's right. The conservative news site, The Daily Caller, made note of a passage in Obama's book, Dreams for My Father, in which the president recounted some of his eating while living in Indonesia with his stepfather, Lolo Suetro, from ages 6 to 10. He said, with Lolo, I learned how to eat small green chili peppers raw with dinner, and away from the dinner table, I was introduced to dog meat. So Daily Caller blogger Jim Treacher said, say what you want about Romney, but at least he only put a dog on the roof of his car, not the roof of his mouth. That should end it, shouldn't it? That should more or less end it already with the dogs. Let's hear more about the other damage to the country rather than a dog on the roof. But this is an example of the country you're living in. Again, 10 days now, a movie star gave a ring to some has-been actress. 10 days in the news. Now it's the 11th day. They go to the Galapagos with their children. That's the 11th day to celebrate their engagement. This is unbelievable. The tripe that the sewer pipe from Hollywood pumps out into the American mind. It's a wonder that anyone can read, write, or even spell their names correctly anymore. So I'll pause at this moment and take some callers. Let's go to Tucson, Arizona. Rosie, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to thank you because I'm driving along and you're talking about the guy. He could have said it in 30 seconds instead of 3 minutes, and you're laughing at your own jokes. And I'm cracking up, and people look at me like I'm crazy, and I'm going, hey, I'm high on Savage.
It's a very, very good medication. It's free, and it's non-toxic.
So thank you so much, Dr. Savage.
And well, you're getting a free copy of TDT, which is not DDT, but better because this one is used. If you spray my ideas in TDT on liberals, you're liable to save yourself from liberalism, the mental disorder. I'm perfecting the idea as I go along each time it gets better. Houston, John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, if I could pick your brain, we'd talk about cooking and spices. But much
okay.
more important, Sheila Jackson Lee is now putting TSA officers undercover on our city buses who can randomly search purses.
Well, that's important in order to produce an absolute police state. Who better to do it than Sheila Jackson Lee, a liberal? Thank you for the... It's unbelievable. Where'd you expect the Nazism to come from? Did you expect fascism to come from Germans with swastikas marching down the street singing the Horst Wessel song? Is that what you expected? All the while you were looking to the right, the Nazis came from the left. See, that's the way it worked. But they go try to explain that to anybody. Yeah, the Horst Wessel song. It's coming from the left, not the right this time. Well, what should I do the last caller now, right now, on the here. New York, Bruce, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How are we doing, Dr. Savage? Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
I got a headache. I got a toothache. Other than that, I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
I just want to say thank you very much for trying to wake up this country, and hopefully everybody's listening to your station like I do every day on the way home from work.
Well, you listen to WOR. I'm beating Groucho Marx's illegitimate grandmother every night on the other station. He'd like to tell you the otherwise, but I'm destroying him because he's a talentless hater. And thank God the people in New York know the difference between talent and a hack who was put there strictly in order to fight with me. But nevertheless, I'm glad you listen. I'm friendly. Sending him free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny going your way. Take the TDT and spray the ideas onto a liberal friend and see if you can convert them to sanity. Shovel ready in San Francisco, $205,000 to translocate one shrub from the path of a stimulus project. $205,000 to move a plant that was in the way of a roadway improvement designed to upgrade the seismic and structural integrity of the south access to the Golden Gate Bridge. Sounds important, doesn't it? Well, the bush is available in local nurseries for as little as $15.98 per plant. But because the plant was growing in the middle of the city of San Francisco on a median strip of the highway, the morons deemed it the last example of the species in the wild and they spent $205,000 to move it. Now, let me ask you something. Who got the money? The relatives of the shrub? Or do you think some contractors associated with the stimulus project? You will never know. My friends, there are so many things you'll never know that I'll never know. All we can do is sit here and watch the world go round. And I want to thank you for a great ride, watching the world go round with me for the last 18 years. And it's been quite a trip. Quite a trip. And as I said to you many times, Trickle Down Tyranny will be my last nonfiction book. I suggest heartily you read it from now until the election. And look forward to Train Tracks.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To listen to some of this audio, including Ted Nugent saying, by this time next year, Barack Obama is reelected, he'll either be in jail or dead. I hope he means himself, not the president. That was kind of a stupid statement, by the way.
I tell you this right now, if Barack Obama becomes the president in November again, I will either be dead or in jail by this time next year. Being at the NRA event, God bless you, good indicator. But if you can't go home and get everybody in your lives to clean house in this vile, evil, America-hating administration, I don't even know what you're made out of.
Now you need to hear the First Lady, Michelle Obama, saying that her husband has handled the presidency with grace and poise.
The president's job is a lot harder, and that's why I'm working hard to get him reelected, because he's handled himself with a level of grace and poise that not many people could, given the challenges that he's faced. I don't have the stressful job he does. I have the privilege of working on the issues that I choose and the issues that I feel most passionate about. It's been a privilege. And there are definitely, you know, pressures that come with being in the spotlight, but they are overshadowed by the amount of great things I've been able to do and the impact I've been able to have.
And now you need to hear Catholic Bishop Daniel Jenke, not me, but Catholic Bishop Daniel Jenke, comparing President Obama to Hitler and Stalin.
Remember that in past history, other governments have tried to force Christians to huddle and hide only within the confines of their churches, like those first disciples before the resurrection, locked together in the upper room. Hitler and Stalin, at their better moments, would just barely tolerate some churches remaining open, but would not tolerate any competition with the state in education, social services, and health care. In clear violation of our First Amendment rights, President Obama, with his radical pro-abortion and extreme secularist agenda, now seems intent on following a similar path.
Okay, here's what's on michaelsavage.com. A bishop, an American bishop, says that Obama is following the path of Hitler and Stalin. I didn't say this. A bishop did. Now you understand why liberals hate the church, don't you? Do you understand what's going on in this country, Catholics? Let me read it to you. In a homily delivered Saturday, Bishop Daniel R. Jenke of the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois, challenged Obama's HHS mandate, suggesting that the president was following the same path as Hitler and Stalin. What does he mean by that? Hitler and Stalin, at their better moments, would just barely tolerate some churches remaining open,
but would not tolerate any competition with the state in education, social services, and health care. In clear violation of our First Amendment rights, Barack Obama, with his radical pro-abortion and extreme secularist agenda, now seems intent on following a similar path, said Bishop Jenke. Well, there's much worse in there, but boy, this guy's got nerve. We have a picture of the soldiers with the dead bodies of the would-be suicide bombers, and my headline is, better him than our boys. I don't have to say any more. Thank you for making Trickle Down Tyranny number two on Wall Street Journal's bestseller list. And now do what the liberals are doing for the number one book. They're buying it in bulk. Put your money where your mouth is. If you're a business owner, buy 5, buy 10, buy 100. Give them out to your employees. Trickle Down Tyranny, it's now or never. London Daily Mail shows a picture of the young Barry Obama with his dad from Kenya. And at the time, the United States and the United Kingdom shared fears about Obama's anti-American, anti-white father. Really? I wouldn't think it. Romney finally speaks. He says, fired the Secret Service agents in the scandal. Go, Mitt, go. Debt has increased $5 trillion under Obama. Could you believe this? In less than one term? It's the biggest debt of any president? What a crowd. So-called peace activists scrawl a swastika at an airport in Israel. How do you like that? Nazis, huh? There's a picture of Obama's GSA at work in a Vegas hot tub. Schmuck. Hey, global warmists, some Himalayan glaciers are actually growing. Oh, yeah. Subsidized bankrupt Solyndra managers got $368,000 in court-ordered bonuses. Way to go, Barry. Also on michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the bottom and see what's there. New photos of Dr. Savage's birthday celebration. Committee votes down a state law prohibiting student-teacher dating. What? The unions opposed it. The ACLU opposed it. They want teachers to be able to date students. Huh? Sushi linked to salmonella poisoning? How could that be? How could sushi be bad for you? Isn't it green? Isn't it liberal and cool to nibble? Well, the Japanese do it, and they're superior to us, right? I don't know. I mean, that can't be bad. I thought steak was bad. Not sushi. Can't be sushi. Sushi's good. All the young girls eat sushi in high school. All the emaciated girls who can't think, they eat sushi because it's good for you. Susie, here's your sushi. All this and more on michaelsavage.com. Right back.
Serving as a Solicitor General, did you find that helpful and useful?
Yeah, hugely helpful. Because you're just sort of looking at the court from a somewhat different vantage point, but really spending all your time thinking about those nine people and what they're doing. So sometimes I think that the job doesn't really change at all, that as Solicitor General, my life was spent trying to persuade nine people, and now it's just trying to persuade eight people.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers' softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat, that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
I want to talk about a prediction I'm going to make about the election. Who's going to win, Obama or Romney? You want my prediction and what I'm basing it upon? Because this is a unique analysis. You're not going to get it from Rasmussen. You're not going to get it from Gallup. You're not going to get it from the Lone Ranger. I'm going to give you mine. And I'm going to predict Obama wins by a nose. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm going to tell you why I say that right now. My book, Trickle Down Tyranny, I'm proud to say, and I want to thank you who bought it. It came in number three. But number one is a book by one of the most fanatic leftists in America, a woman by the name of Mad Cow, who wrote a book that her followers rushed out to buy. And what I'm saying to you is, if a woman with a small show on an MSNBC, Mad Cow, can write a book And her audience, though much smaller than mine, is much more loyal than mine. And they're all leftists, and you're all independents or conservatives. And you won't go and put your body on the line by buying the book. I'm telling you, the same thing is liable to happen at the time of the election. In other words, if those willing to go out and buy a book are indicative of those willing to register and vote, then Obama wins by a nose, and you can quote me on that. Whether I'm right or wrong, you won't know till November. But I am telling you right now, if a woman of such limited intelligence and of such a fanatic ugliness by the name of Mad Cow can write a book, and her listeners, as diminished as they are intellectually, are this loyal to go out to a bookstore and buy her book, while you are not that loyal, or you won't, the conservatives won't register to vote, they're not going to vote for Romney, just as they won't go out to a bookstore and buy Trickle-Down Tyranny. And this is not sour grapes. I told you, one way or the other, you could have made it number one for 50 weeks, my lifestyle wouldn't change. I'd still be the same man, same book. But I'm making this prediction right now. This is a terrible thing for me to have to say. What more do you need to know? New York City, WOR, Marcus, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to comment on how you said liberals are more motivated than conservatives, and I've always felt the same way. I've always felt that liberals are just way more motivated to change the country than conservatives.
Yes, that's right. They want to drag the country into a Marxist state. Whether it's Marxism light or Marxism heavy, we don't know yet. But they're doing a very fine job of destroying the American way of life, and the conservatives are a big, big bunch of losers. You know the number one book is about golf? The number two book, rather, is about Tiger Woods' golf game. Now, who would read a book about golf? I could see playing it, but why do you want to read a book about it by a coach?
It's unbelievable. Tiger Woods.
It's unbelievable how stupid the American male is. And what I'm saying is, if they'll go out and buy a book by this limited intelligence, they will register, and they will register others, and they will vote, unlike those listening to this show who talk the talk and don't walk the walk. That doesn't mean I'm unhappy. Thank you very much for those of you who bought the 25,000 copies or whatever it took to get me to number three, which is a huge, giant victory, by the way, for conservatism. But if you search the print, hardcover, and paperback nonfiction list, you cannot find many, if any, other conservative titles. This is another phenomenal analysis, by the way. There is a history book by the Leprechaun, but that's not a conservative book. There is a book by a former Army SEAL, but that is not really a political book. I am looking at the list, and I have a new analysis for you. Conservative books are not selling the way they once did. That is correct. And there's a couple of reasons for it. Either the conservative audience is saturated by the same garbage. They've read it all before. They heard the word liberal. They heard the word communist. They heard the word Marxist. They heard the word socialist, and they don't want to hear anymore. They think they know it all, but they don't know it all. They haven't scratched the surface of what really is going on right underneath their nose. But the fanatic leftists, they, on the other hand, will buy anything any of their ilk put out. No matter how low, no matter how disgraceful, no matter how illiterate, no matter how derivative or absurd it may be, they will buy their own kind's book. They will do it. They will stop the partying. They will come out of the nightclubs at 4 in the morning after they're stoned and drunk and have a rave with the book because they support each other. You got to hand it to the leftists who have reshaped America in their own disgusting image because they've only just begun to fight. Delaware Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you very much, and I appreciate all the work you're doing, Dr. Savage. I wanted to relate to you that Barnes & Noble's, I could not find your book anywhere in a predominant area. I saw plenty of liberal books. Obama's
right.
Book.
Of course you see the book by the mad ones. They're always, because their cohorts work in these stores. Just as they work their way into the universities and the government, they've worked their way into bookstores, and that's how they're shaping the culture. This is exactly what they're doing. It's called the Long March. It was done in communist China. It's done through the cultural institutions first. Then it's done in the streets, and they've already moved into the streets with their street vermin friends. And you've only seen the beginning of what Obama's going to do to us. This is not the end. This is just the end of the beginning. What can I say? Look, I'm very happy with Barnes & Noble, but I can't tell you that every store is doing what they're supposed to do. You know, a new analysis came out from Rasmussen on what people care about. I'm not surprised to tell you they care about the economy, the economy, the economy. In other words, I can tell you all I want about the wars, how he's destroyed the military and what he intends to do. I can tell you more about green energy and the fact that it's a scam, and I name names and show you all the other cylinders on the horizon. You don't really care. What you really care about is not how incredibly brilliant I may be about my writing, which exceeds anything ever written in popular nonfiction in the political realm. No one's ever beaten this one line. I told you that. Economies can be rebuilt. Armies can be repopulated. But once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. That's poetry. But since most of America doesn't recognize poetry, you went right over that line. The fact of the matter is what you care about, and rightly so, is the economy. And so what I want to devote today's show to, in part, is the economy, the economy, the economy. And I want to show you certain things that you may not have yet heard or read or be aware of that may be of very grave importance to your children's future, to your future on the Savage Nation. So let me begin with a paragraph and see if you want me to continue. You're going to have to vote yes or no. In Chapter 4 of Tyranny, it's called Obama and the Leninist Economic Vision. Vladimir Ilyich Lenin had a disturbed vision. He thought that a nation could only grow more prosperous when it was controlled by a vanguard of an elite. The Leninist elite would lead the Russian people to a world free of pain and poverty. No more haves and have-nots. No more private property. Only boundless prosperity. All Russia had to do was transfer its entire wealth to Lenin's elite. The Leninist vision had terrible consequences. If you didn't want to relinquish your property, Leninists would take it. And instead of boundless prosperity, the Russian people endured unthinkable poverty and famine. Photographs abound of groups of men, women, and children, their skeletal bodies marked by grotesque, swollen bellies, sitting helplessly at the edge of a road or in front of the empty huts they once called home, waiting to die. Cannibalism was rampant, so much so that the Russian government was forced to issue edicts against it. If you don't believe it could happen here, listen to the president. At a million-dollar fundraiser in San Francisco in October of 11, Obama warned his audience that if he's not elected in 2012, Americans will have to become more self-reliant than they are now. Here is Lenin Obama's exact words, quote, "The only thing that we absolutely know for sure is that if we don't work even harder than we did in 08, then we're going to have a government that tells the American people, you are on your own. If you get sick, you're on your own. If you can't afford college, you're on your own. If you don't like that some corporation is polluting your air or the air that your children breathe, then you're on your own." Now, that's not the America I believe in. It's not the America you believe in, said Obama. Because the America that Barack Obama believes in is the same America that Lenin would have believed in. I've warned you repeatedly that in his first 3 years in office, Barack Obama has done everything he can to bring the Leninist vision to America. Who controls the United States under Obama's Leninist vision of what of what this country will become? Well, here's the change. Here's the curveball. I call it the financial aristocracy. They're the modern equivalent of Lenin's elite. Did you ever hear the word financial aristocracy before? You certainly didn't hear it from Groucho's grandmother on the other station. I'm the only one who's spoken out against the new financial aristocracy.
Savage.
Look, I have written that Obama's foreign policy has been a disaster and putting the nation in great danger. I wrote about it in Trickle Down Tyranny. I talk about it every day. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about the Obama foreign policy disaster is Eric Stackelback, a terrorism and national security expert for CBN News. Hey, Eric, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Do you agree with me that the Obama Middle East policy is a total disaster and dangerous?
The Obama administration's Middle East policy, if you can even call it a policy, Michael, has done more to embolden our enemies, really, since any action since 1979, when Jimmy Carter threw the Shah under the bus and looked the other way. He even talked glowingly as the Ayatollah Khomeini came to power in Iran. That set off a chain of events over the last 33 years, which have brought us to this moment, where we have Obama empowering are one of our greatest enemies, the Muslim Brotherhood, a group sworn to the destruction of the West, to the destruction of Israel. He's empowering the Brotherhood, and he is throwing Israel to the wolves, to the jihadi wolves, quite literally. I'll give you a great example, Michael, of where we're at right now. 2 weeks ago, just around Easter, a delegation of Muslim Brotherhood officials were in the White House. Muslim Brotherhood officials from Egypt were guests in the White House meeting with national security officials, members of the National Security Council, and Obama administration staffers in our White House. Michael, terrorists in suits. That's what the Brotherhood is. They are terrorists in suits. They might not have the long flowing beards and the robes. They might not be living in caves. They're well-educated. They're eloquent, well-spoken, very presentable. But they have the same agenda as the likes of Al-Qaeda. Yet they were honored guests in our White House. This administration has succeeded in making the Muslim Brotherhood mainstream. Look, if you're a guest in the White House, you are now officially mainstream. You're officially non-threatening. The Obama administration has succeeded in making the original Islamic terror group, the Muslim Brotherhood, a legitimate group. They are completely legitimized now. They are guests at the White House. And the Muslim Brotherhood's American fronts, groups in the United States are connected to the Brotherhood. Michael, they have to be smiling from ear to ear. The Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, this whole alphabet soup of Muslim Brotherhood-connected U.S. Islamic groups are saying, hey, our Egyptian mothership were just officials from that group, were just guests at the White House. We got it made. We're made in the shade. And if this president gets reelected in November, God forbid, you will see another arm of the Muslim Brotherhood engaged in official dialogue with the Obama administration, Michael, and that is Hamas. My prediction, and really it's not a bold prediction, the Muslim Brotherhood's Palestinian branch, a terrorist group, Hamas, Hamas is the Brotherhood. They identify themselves as the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Obama administration, if this president is reelected, will officially open dialogue with Hamas. That's my prediction on this show.
Eric, why would top administration officials talk to the Muslim Brotherhood?
You know, Michael, this is the great question that a lot of people are asking. Why is Obama promoting, and that's what he's doing, promoting and legitimizing the Muslim Brotherhood, a group whose former members include Osama bin Laden, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Ayman al-Zawahiri, a group whose founding motto, which they have never changed, which still stands today, reads, "Jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope," a group which does not recognize Israel's right to exist. Why would the Obama administration legitimize this group and embrace this group? Is it just out of sheer ignorance? They don't know what the Brotherhood's all about? I think it's part of that, Michael. Look, officials at every level of government right now, even at the Pentagon in some cases, even at the Department of Justice, FBI, CIA, they fail the first rule of war, know your enemy. They haven't studied Islamic history. They haven't studied the ideology. They haven't read Islam's core texts. You got to know what you're up against. Think of Reagan in the Cold War. He knew Marxism, communism, cold. By the time he became president, he was ready to win the Cold War. We don't have that same intellectual curiosity now among our leaders, Michael. So half of them don't know what the Brotherhood's all about. When the Brotherhood comes into a meeting and they're wearing suits and ties, and some of them are clean-shaven, their beard is neatly trimmed, and they're eloquent, and they speak fluent English, and they have PhDs and master degrees from Western universities. They come into a meeting with American officials, and they say, hey, we're democratic, we're peaceful, we don't want to be violent, we've changed, we're not the Brotherhood of old. It all is neatly packaged. It all sounds so nice, and our officials fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. So part of it is sheer ignorance. Another part of it is these same naive Western officials say, hey, the Muslim Brotherhood is a peaceful group. We can use them as a counterweight to the really bad guys in Al-Qaeda. Here's the problem with that strategy, Michael. At the end of the day, although the Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda differ in tactics, and you and I have discussed this on the show many times, they might differ in tactics, but at the end of the day, the end game is the same. The Brotherhood's going to kill you slowly, stealthily. Al-Qaeda wants to blow you up now. But at the end, the goal of both groups is the same. Islamic Sharia law for one and all, whether you like it or not. And the return of that Islamic superstate, the caliphate, a union of every Muslim nation economically, politically, militarily, to take on Israel, take on the West. And Michael, real quick, the last part of this, why we're embracing the Brotherhood is this government. President Obama is attracted to and is drawn to anything, any entity, any group, any movement, any organization that is opposed to Judeo-Christian Western civilization. So, hey, the Brotherhood are his kind of guys. They don't like the West. They don't like Judeo-Christian Western civilization, Judeo-Christian Western values. So, of course, a guy like Obama is going to embrace them.
Tell the Savage Nation how Christians are treated in the Middle East. I have a whole chapter on how the Coptic Christians are being destroyed in trickle-down tyranny.
The great untold story right now in the Middle East, Michael, is how Christians are being purged from the region, from the birthplace of Christianity, in countries like Egypt, in countries like Yemen, like Lebanon. We're seeing Christians, like Iraq especially, we're seeing Christians in the Palestinian territories. We're seeing Christians massacred in many cases, even in Nigeria, which isn't in the Middle East, it's in Africa, but a strongly Muslim country. In Muslim-majority countries across the Middle East and across Africa, Christians are being targeted viciously. They're being murdered. They're fleeing the region in droves. You're going to see more of them come to the U.S. In Egypt, I predict, as the Muslim Brotherhood and assorted Islamists continue to get a stranglehold on power there, Michael, I predict that we will see an exodus of Egyptian Coptic Christians from the region. And they're 10% of the Egyptian population are the Copts, one of the oldest Christian communities in the Middle East. So we're seeing pogroms, really, across the Middle East of Christians, especially in Iraq, especially in Egypt. These are dangerous, volatile situations for Christians. We've seen a mass exodus from Iraq since our brilliant invasion in 2003. We've seen a mass exodus of Christians. Christians are being killed, sometimes inside of churches. The churches are burnt to the ground with believers inside them. This is a nasty, nasty thing. It was the birthplace of Christianity, was the Middle East. And now Christians are being emptied out of the region. And what's left? What's left in their stead? Islamic, radical Islamic governments, Sharia states coming to power across the region. So there's no place in those states for any non-Muslim, period. And where is the one place, the one nation, Michael, in the region where Christians are welcome? Israel. Why don't we hear that in the mainstream media? Why doesn't anyone talk about that? Why doesn't anyone talk about the fact that Israel, the Jewish state, since 1948, since it was, I believe, miraculously refounded as a nation in 1948, the Christian population in Israel has increased by 1,000%. Arab Christians in Israel, who live in Israel proper in places like Nazareth and places like Jaffa, Arab Christians are some of the most educated and prosperous people in the whole Middle East. They live in Israel. They're Israeli citizens. Why don't we hear about that? Why don't we hear how Christians in Israel have access to all of their holy sites, free access? Look, I've been to Israel several times, working as a tourist, doing business over there, obviously, with what I do. And I'm a Christian, and everyone knows I'm a Christian. I work for the Christian Broadcasting Network. Never harassed, never threatened, embraced, as a matter of fact, with open arms. And Christians everywhere in Israel, moving around freely, going to their holy sites. It's a beautiful thing to see, the tolerance of Israel and of the Jewish people in the state of Israel. But that's a story, Michael, you're just not going to hear about, and I wonder why, from our mainstream press.
What do you think the overall impact of this latest military photo scandal will be, if any?
You know, Michael, two things are absolutely predictable here that are going to happen. Number one, we will likely see retaliatory attacks by the Taliban. They will use this as a pretext. Not only that, we're going to see quite possibly, quite probably, riots, protest in the streets by those peaceful Afghan people who were giving billions of dollars to build a Western-style democracy. They will be in the streets over this. I wouldn't be surprised. They might not be, but if this continues, Michael, to get this mainstream media coverage, and you know the mainstream media is going to play it up because it makes that awful American military look bad. So if this continues to be played up in the international media, I think you'll see Afghan people very likely in the streets, rioting, protesting, burning American flags in effigy. They might kill each other in a rage like they've done in other protests over the past few years. That's number one. Number two, we've seen it already, an apology, a profound, just groveling apology from the Obama administration. That's a certainty. Number three, I think it's just going to hurt the morale of our troops over there, which is a tragedy. Our brave men and women who are in a thankless situation in that country, who really, I mean, to me, Michael, what's the end game in Afghanistan? What are we getting out of that? Nation building, democracy, not going to work, not compatible in that society. If we're there to kill terrorists, hey, okay. But otherwise, other goals, building infrastructure, etc., I just don't see it. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think they're grateful. I think it's a waste of taxpayer money at this point to try and build up the Afghan infrastructure. So let's make a decision what we want to do with our brave troops there who are busting their butts at great cost, at great blood and treasure. Let's make a decision what we're going to do there. And if you're going to continue to castigate our troops every time something like this happens and portray our troops in a bad light, that's going to continue to be a problem. It's going to hurt morale.
Eric, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, always great to talk to you. And you can check out my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat, where I talk about all of these issues. And also check out my show at CBNNews.com. It's called Stackelbeck on Terror. Thanks again.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.